In today's fractured society, where political and ideological fault lines run deep, learning to disagree well has become an essential skill. John Inazu guides us through this challenging terrain by drawing from his experiences as a law professor, showing how we might hold strong convictions while maintaining humility. What makes his approach compelling is his ability to complexify issues we typically oversimplify, challenging us to examine our assumptions more deeply. As a Japanese-American whose grandparents were interned during World War II, Inazu brings a unique perspective to questions of justice and empathy. This isn't just another book about civility. It's a deeply personal exploration of how we might flourish amid our most profound differences, offering practical wisdom for navigating a world where disagreement is inevitable, but destruction isn't. Our modern dilemma finds us lost in online debates while missing life's authentic moments. Digital exchanges often reduce human complexity to simplistic arguments, fostering division over understanding. Law school demonstrates why empathy matters alongside technical skills. Great attorneys seek to understand their adversaries rather than dismiss them. While legal rights are important, both conservative and liberal students learn that exercising them wisely requires considering their impact. The challenge lies in finding balance between careless and overcautious communication. Simple solutions, like using neutral titles or proper names, can navigate sensitive issues while respecting all parties. Veterans in academic settings show how diverse perspectives deepen understanding, highlighting that true empathy connects with individuals, not categories. While screen-mediated interactions challenge empathy, we can cultivate it through good faith assumptions and active listening. Perhaps curiosity, rather than argument preparation, should drive our conversations. What seems fair depends heavily on perspective. Criminal law shows this through justified homicides, self-defense, lawful war killings, and certain police actions highlight the gap between facts and moral judgments. The Russian poker case demonstrates this complexity. Though Steve didn't intend to kill his friend, some states classify such reckless behavior as murder rather than manslaughter, reflecting cultural assumptions about fairness. Personal experiences reveal justice's unevenness. A quick traffic court dismissal contrasts with a black colleague's encounter with campus police, where immediate compliance felt necessary, showing how justice varies with identity and circumstance. Some conflicts are truly zero-sum. Faculty hiring with limited positions and self-defense cases demonstrate this reality, though reasonableness varies by legal standard, as seen in Zimmerman's acquittal under Florida's Stand Your Ground law. The Judy Norman case further challenges conventional standards. After 20 years of abuse, she shot her sleeping husband. Lacking imminent threat for self-defense, her manslaughter conviction was later commuted. Our judgments of fairness are shaped by experiences, values, and social position. Fairness isn't objective, but requires ongoing dialogue and different perspectives. Everyday life presents irreconcilable conflicts. On crowded flights, yelping dogs highlight tensions between pet owners' desires and allergy sufferers' health. Similar conflicts emerge with peanut allergies and seat reclining, situations where legitimate competing interests clash. Faculty meetings reveal their own fairness disputes, from competition for the seat to free speech debates. When handling controversies, institutions often default to procedural fairness, lacking clear concepts of justice. While universal rules can be established, fairness remains procedural without defined beliefs. These examples show how life contains values resistant to compromise. The law typically resolves such conflicts through its monopoly on force, a reality many students struggle to grasp. When facing zero-sum conflicts, don't abandon the system after losses. Instead, use these moments to understand what's at stake and explore alternatives while maintaining reasoned dialogue. The impossibility of compromise demands more empathetic discussion, not less. By November, my students tackle sensitive topics, including our 3-day unit on sexual assault, the most challenging sequence I teach. I approach this knowing some students have personal experiences with assault, making these legal and policy discussions especially crucial. When a male student once remarked that a victim wanted it based on her clothing, sparking gasps and walkouts, I had to navigate between harsh rebuke and problematic silence. These moments require careful balance. With coworkers and neighbors, express discomfort openly, but use familiarity to understand rather than judge. Building relationships before addressing divisive issues creates trust that helps weather difficult conversations. I learned this lesson the hard way with my father. Years of silence ended only during his final Thanksgiving after his lung cancer diagnosis. Those last months taught me the importance of resuming dialogue, especially when time is limited. Context and timing matter deeply. Discussing contentious topics works best when mutual respect exists and both parties are ready to engage thoughtfully rather than defensively. At the County Records Office, I meet Miss J, who provides exceptional service with genuine care. "My job is to help you do your job," she says. Her kindness makes me reflect on how many mistreat helpful public servants. My law students' observations of criminal court reveal profound insights about accessibility barriers and the human stakes in legal proceedings. Grading law exams, I contemplate how most students land in the middle, good but not exceptional. My own experience at the bottom of civil procedure class, met with professor indifference, taught me to treat students with humanity. A fight with my wife, Caroline, shows how quickly we reduce loved ones to problems. During an argument, I asked, "Do you realize how much money this argument just cost us?" A stark reminder that people aren't interruptions or inefficiencies. This shift from seeing others as obstacles to recognizing them as complex human beings transforms our interactions. When we see the person across the counter, classroom, or divide as someone with equal dignity, we create space for genuine connection despite differences. January's Law and Religion class explores competing faith claims through Judith Kutch's LSD sacrament case. The judge's mockery of her church shows how all religions contain elements that seem strange to outsiders. At a faculty workshop, academics dismiss Christians except for Aquinas and a guy at Yale, a reminder that everyone experiences having their beliefs misunderstood. Everyone has faith, and everyone doubts. Teaching about religion and patriotism, I use God Bless the USA to examine how American nationalism interweaves with religious imagery. During MLK Day, I grapple with how we sanitize King by avoiding his Christian faith. A student's suicide later forces us to confront that sometimes there are no answers, only faith or despair. In May, I return to golf with my colleague Gary. Our friendship balances shallow and deep interactions, avoiding those who stay either perpetually superficial or exclusively serious. When political opposites Jack Cunningham joins us, tension dissolves as he hits his first hole-in-one, creating shared joy. These ordinary moments, whether through golf, cycling, gaming, or music, create bonds that transcend ideology. In a world that rewards outrage, simply spending time together becomes revolutionary.